Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Generation Y ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. Listen to a bold new take on George Orwell's classic 1984 on Audible, starring an epic cast with Andrew Garfield, Cynthia Erivo, and Andrew Scott, and featuring Tom Hardy as Big Brother. Plus, a haunting original score by Matthew Bellamy and Elon Ashkari that takes this thrilling production to the next level. Experience an immersive listening experience like nothing you've heard before. This chilling tale of constant surveillance, thought police, and rebellion is more relevant now than ever. Big Brother is watching and listening. Hear why those who control the past control the future. Listen to George Orwell's 1984 on Audible now. Go to audible.com/bigbrother.
There are days like today where I am just too busy to get outside and go feed myself. And that's where DoorDash comes in. It's super convenient, and they bring the food to me. Also, I don't like paying delivery fees, so I have DashPass. DashPass is an exclusive membership from DoorDash that gets you unlimited $0 delivery fees on eligible orders and members-only deals and discounts, all for only $9.99 a month. DashPass actually pays for itself in 2 orders on average. DashPass makes it easy to save at restaurants, grocery stores, and all your local favorites. Open the door to $0 delivery fees and savings you can't get anywhere else. Sign up for DashPass today only on DoorDash and get your first 30 days free if you're a new member. Subject to change, terms apply.
After the tone, and Google Voice will try to connect you.
Justin.
If you have any information regarding Olivia Mabel, please leave a message.
How you doing tonight, Aaron?
I'm doing pretty good, Justin. How are you?
I'm doing great. We have a creepy mystery story tonight. Mystery story? I don't even know. I can't talk right now.
Let's talk about this. So you have people that are just surfing the internet, and sometimes you see a little advertisement at the bottom that says the 10 creepiest stories that you've never heard of.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. You can go down a rabbit hole easily with these things, and usually they'll have at least one image. They'll have a short, I mean, you know, maybe a paragraph or two, and it gets your appetite whetted for creepy stories.
Yeah.
And sometimes they sort of get stuck in your head and you'll tell someone else about it. They'll look it up. And these things can go viral. We've had people write into our podcast and say, have you heard of this?
Yeah.
And I'll look it up and there won't be a lot of information on it, but it is creepy. And usually the image with it is creepy as well. So I can see why they're motivated to send it into us. But at that point, what do we do with it?
Exactly. And I'm not one for clickhole websites. You know, all the titles are like, this might look like a small house, but once you see the inside, you won't believe what you see. And I never click those things. So that might be why I hadn't heard this story, because I don't click on those kind of headlines ever. But this is a creepy story.
I do click those. I have to see the inside.
Yeah, but then there's so many pop-ups and weird stuff, and you have to wait for the ads to load before you can hit next to see, you know, one of 10 pictures, and it takes, I'm not into them.
Well, if I'm on the desktop computer, then it's no big deal.
Yeah.
But if I'm on my mobile phone, that's when I won't do it. It's too much of a mess.
So what is tonight's topic?
Well, tonight's topic concerns a woman by the name of Olivia Mabel.
Yes.
And she was married to Travis Mabel, and they lived in northern Texas in a town named Salina.
And they have a son.
Right. So 1990 is the year. Their son, Aiden, is 7, and he's playing outside.
And they have a 12, 13 acre property. It's a lot of land, and they have ponds and, you know, wooded areas and stuff on this land because, you know, it's Texas.
Well, no one's watching him. And after a while, Travis goes out to look for him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember why he needs to look for him. It's just perhaps it's just one of those things where we haven't heard Aiden in a while, haven't seen Aiden in a while. We should go look for him.
When it's quiet, that's when there's trouble.
Right.
And when you don't know where your kids are, when you can't hear them, they're probably up to no good. I think the husband, the father, I think he was working in the garage at the time, and Olivia was inside. I think she was cooking dinner. The last time they saw Aiden, he was going towards the pond where, you know, he might catch frogs or skip rocks, whatever it may be.
Whatever the case, Travis is looking around, and of course his search becomes more frantic as he can't find his boy.
Mm-hmm.
But then he gets to the pond.
What does he discover there?
Well, unfortunately, he sees what appears to be his boy floating face down in the water. So he, of course, goes in after him. He pulls him out. But despite his best efforts, he knows his boy is gone, that he's passed on.
It's too late. Their only child is now gone.
Now, this is a family that's pretty well connected with the community in this small town. And this is going to change them forever.
Well, yeah. And a death in a family always changes everything. It changes the dynamic of the family. I mean, the grief process of that, you can't even imagine. So they stop going out. They stop going to church.
Well, she stops going to work. She doesn't work at all. One of the worst things that occurs because of this death is that she and her husband, it's probably because of her, but she is not dealing with this at all, and she basically shuts down. So she's not communicating. You know, I'm sure he's trying to console her, and she's not having any of this.
She doesn't want his affection, his attention. She's solely focused on the loss of her only child. And Travis starts using alcohol as a coping mechanism to deal with this breakdown of their marriage.
So they're spending really no time together anymore. And this is going to lead them to separate.
And Travis ends up moving out, correct?
Right. She stays in the house.
Which I always wondered, like, was the house paid off? Like, I was kind of didn't know how that, if it was the family home or what was going on with that, because she quit her job, she quit working, and she stayed in the house, but, you know, didn't get foreclosed on very quickly. So she was able to stay there at least for a while, for many years.
Right. And because she's not going to church, because she's not meeting with friends or talking to them anymore, those relationships that she had die off.
As they do. I mean, if you don't, if it's all one way, if I'm calling you every day and you're not returning my phone calls, I'm going to stop calling and I'm not going to check in on you. I'm going to take the hint, or I'm just at least going to know that my communication is not welcome or accepted anymore. It's depression.
Right. And perhaps these people would welcome a call from her at some point, but that doesn't happen. She mm-hmm. really does just shut down. And she goes into seclusion,
mm-hmm.
and her husband doesn't go there. He's just, you know, he'll pay the bill, but he's not going there.
Yeah.
And of course, this all has to get sorted out because, well, we assume there would be an impending divorce.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going through that process, but that process is never fast. A divorce is the most long, drawn out, painful thing a lot of couples will go through, especially if one member of that couple, one party, isn't responding, isn't signing the paperwork, isn't cooperating, then what do you do?
And here we assume that Olivia is just so depressed, so withdrawn, that she can't participate.
And it's sad because I would just assume
someone would do a welfare check on her. At least Travis or somebody, family member, would go and check on her at least sometime. Go knock on the door. And you should absolutely do that if you suspect somebody is grief-stricken or depressed for that long. Suicide is a real thing, so it's called a welfare check. And you can call your local police department, and they will go and do a welfare check. It doesn't take any time out of their day. They enjoy doing this because they know what the repercussions could be if you don't check on somebody. Even the elderly when it's hot or cold out, just whatever it is.
Sure, it's making a real difference.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just writing a ticket for, you know, speeding 5 miles per hour over the limit.
So September 1991 was the last time anyone saw Olivia. And we won't hear from her until February 27th, 1994 at 9:30 p.m. There's several 911 calls made from the house, but they're silent. There's no talking. There's nothing. So the 911 dispatcher gets a phone call. Nobody on the other end. They get that a lot, hang up, whatever. But when there's multiples, several of them, they take it more seriously and they dispatch a patrol officer to go check it out. Because maybe you're in so much danger that you can't speak. So they send somebody out.
And some people wonder about this because if she's really just not doing anything, not working, not doing anything, how is she even paying bills? Because the way she's described is she's really just rock bottom. Some states allow you to have a warm or a soft dial tone, even if you don't have a, even if you're not paying the bill.
Yeah, you can still dial 911 from a landline and it will go through.
Right. It varies by state, but federally they say that you're supposed to be able to do that. It's for safety's sake.
So if the phone was shut off, you could still dial 911.
But the question is why were the calls silent?
No one was talking. So they dispatch, I think it was Officer Santiago, and I forgot the other officer's name, but they go out to the house and they knock on the door. There's no response. And because they feel that there might be something wrong, there's been multiple 911 calls, they decide to break down the door. And they describe the door as being swollen or bowed out. Now, this is Texas, humidity. I don't know why they describe the door this way, but they break the door in. And what they find is a home that looks abandoned, not lived in, not cleaned, dust everywhere. I think one description said it looked abandoned, like there was no furniture in the house, but I couldn't find pictures, so I don't know if there was any furniture, any kind of furniture, couch or a table or something, but there's nothing in the house except for in one bedroom, which happens to be Aiden's bedroom. And they say that room is actually taken care of and it's cleaned up. There's no dust. It looks lived in. And they find Olivia in a nightgown, sitting in a rocking chair, and she's been passed away for several months. She's been dead for a long time. In front of her is what they describe as an altar, which has photos of her son and a catcher's mitt, candles, some other things. There's also a trunk on the floor that has a child's bed sheet on top of it. When they open the trunk, they find other items from Aiden. But I think there was a note, a handwritten letter, either on the trunk or in the trunk.
The altar is a trunk covered with a child's bed sheet.
Okay, but there's a bunch of stuff on top of it, like the photos and stuff. So yeah, the trunk is the base of the altar, but the altar, all the stuff is on top of it. So yeah, you're right.
There are photos. There are letters. There are drawings. There are also symbols.
Called Sanskrit.
Yeah, there are Sanskrit symbols or Sanskrit writing. Oh, and there's some wildflowers, I believe.
Yeah.
But in her hands is a doll made out of like a stick and some leaves and fabric from some clothing of Aiden's.
Yeah.
And a little makeshift hat.
Mm-hmm.
And little shiny eyes. When you see the doll, it seems like something that it's more than just a little object. It looks like something that was fashioned with emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's something different about it when you look at it.
It looks not voodoo-y, but it looks a little more intentional, less artistic, like a toy, and more intentional, like trying to represent something.
And it looks very much like this is Aiden.
Mm-hmm.
That she fashioned the sticks and the fabric and the leaves into a little Aiden that she could clutch and hold on to.
And we kind of get that impression because it's in her hand. She's in front of this altar. There's this handwritten letter dated that same day of February 27th, 1994, which is the day the cops show up. And this letter is dated on that same day, which is really screwed up, really screwy, because who wrote it? But obviously she could postmark it for a future date, but it's just sort of random that they get 911 calls, they show up, find this letter, and seems planned. What does the letter say?
At the top right, as you said, it's dated February 27th, 1994. And the message says, "My Aiden, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I should have never let it get like this. I'm leaving. I will not let you keep me, you vile, evil creature. Mommy's coming for you, Aiden, my sweet Aiden. Mommy loves you."
So what the hell does that mean?
This is where we'll have to go into some explanation, because the letter is actually addressing two people.
Yeah.
In the first and the third parts of the letter, she's addressing her son, Aiden.
Mm-hmm.
But the very creepy part of the letter, "I will not let you keep me, you vile, evil creature," that is addressing something else. This really relates back to the strange writing and the fact that she was staying in that room. We assume that she was in that rocking chair a lot.
Yeah.
That whole time, she must have been doing something, because she's not out with her friends. She's not at church. She's not shopping. She's in this room with this makeshift altar. She's obviously grief-stricken over the loss of her son. What is she doing that whole time?
According to some of these symbols that they see written there, they mean to build, to create. And then there's, what is it? Tulpa. And tulpa, is that what means thought form, or is that what means to build or create?
As far as I'm aware, how do I put it? Like, thought form is a kind of like a synonym.
Okay.
But tulpa is like a conjured thing.
An entity.
But it's not just an entity, because it's something that's been brought forth.
So a emotional, mental thing brought forth from sheer will and emotion.
Right. It's something, you could think of it as, it's something that you will into existence, but it never actually is supposed to take physical form. Although it can affect, or your senses, all of your senses can pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
You could feel it. You could smell it. You could hear it.
Yeah, hear it.
Inside of your own head. But it's never like a poltergeist or something like that. It actually is an entity that you create within your mind.
Okay.
But it becomes real in that it has its own thoughts. And you hear it. It can speak to you.
Yeah. So I looked up how one creates a tulpa or thought form. The first thing is you have to make a foci or some sort of object out of natural material. And they say that can be wood, crystal, clay. It just can't be anything that's plastic or more man-made, preferably. And then during the lunar cycle of the waxing moon, you meditate with deep breathing, and you're supposed to send energy out of your heart chakra into this object and pretty much envisioning this light going through you, filling up your heart, and then shooting that into this object. And they say it's very important to use your heart chakra because that's white magic as opposed to your base chakra, which is black magic. I couldn't really get much of a explanation as to what the pros and cons are to either one of these, but obviously black magic is considered evil and white magic is considered for good. And with each breath, you're energizing your breaths and this energy and shooting it into this object. And then when the moon passes into its next phase, your tulpa will be created. And once it's created, you need to give it a name. And obviously in this case, if this is what she's doing, it already has a name. It's her son. And you must give it some sort of command that's like a short sentence. And typically, when you create one of these things, you're only supposed to keep it around for a few days, and then you're supposed to dissipate it. And there's a whole explanation on how to dissipate these things. But if you do not dissipate it, you have to continually feed it your energy. You have to recharge it, quote unquote, every day. This is pretty much giving it your life force to keep it alive and around. But if you do not feed it or do not recharge it, after a few days, it will seek its own energy from you like a parasite and suck your life force out of you. Also, after a few days, as it gets stronger, it will materialize or manifest into the physical realm in more aggressive ways than just, you know, senses. So whereas before you might have just been able to hear or see it, now it's gaining more and more power and it can do more stuff.
We're brought to you by ZipRecruiter. So the other day, Aaron and I were trying to get concert tickets to a show we really wanted to see. And I waited before I bought my ticket. And guess what? I missed my chance. And that's why you have to act quickly or somebody else will get it instead. It's like hiring for your business. If you want to find the most talented people for your roles, you have to scoop them up before the competition does. So that's why the best way to do that is ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. And immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Take a moment to get a word from our sponsor, Field of Greens. I like eating healthy, and I've tried a lot of different supplements, I've tried juicing, and I've spent a lot of money and wasted a lot of time. And let me tell you, honestly, none of those things ever made me feel better. With Field of Greens, it's a superfood that gives you nutrition the way nature intended. It's packed full of organic fruits and vegetables, not extracts, and when you're getting those nutrients, you can sleep better. Notice things like your hair and your nails feel stronger, helps with digestion. You just feel better overall. My favorite flavor is the strawberry lemonade. I have a feeling you're going to love this product the way I do. But if for some reason you don't like it, they give you a 100% money-back guarantee. Plus, you can get 15% off your first order and free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code GenY. Promo code GenY at fieldofgreens.com. fieldofgreens.com. Go check it out.
Now, regardless of whether you use your heart chakra or your base chakra, this tulpa will start feeding off of you. So it doesn't really matter if you use the bad or the good one at this point because it's turned to bad.
And obviously, depending on who you talk to, there are different people with different opinions and ideas about tulpas and how to use them. But what you're essentially saying is that a misuse of a tulpa will result in something bad happening anyway.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter how you start it off.
And this whole idea is said to have gone back to even like Egyptian times, old school Jewish beliefs, pagans, and even Native Americans. They say that Egyptians would actually do this during sex and create an incubus, which is sort of a different form of a thought form. So is that an explanation of what happened here? I mean, I don't think that, I don't know if I believe she created this tulpa from her son who then ate her soul. I mean, that's what it's coming down to. Or maybe she tried to bring her son. Maybe she created a tulpa to bring her son back. Like that was its command. She was trying to get her son, but that tulpa turned into an evil thing. So that's why she's addressing two different things in her letter.
One of the first stories I ever read by Stephen King is Pet Sematary.
Yeah.
And in that story, this couple loses their little boy. Well, it's very similar. You don't want to lose your boy. You want your child to come back. And, you know, it's discovered that he can bury his son in a cemetery beyond the pet cemetery. And it's like old Indian burial ground or something like that.
Fertile earth.
And the child comes back, only it's not quite their child. It looks like their child, but it's not really their child. And the same thing with the tulpa. She's grieving over the loss of her child. She wants to manifest this entity so that she has her child back. And she's putting everything she has into it. And she has a lot of time. She's in that house for, 2.5 years without anyone bothering her.
Mm-hmm.
She has a lot of time. And so we don't know if she's in that house creating this entity and then dissipating as she's supposed to. And then later at some point decides, I can't let go anymore. I can't say goodbye again. And then it gets out of her control.
Or she doesn't want to dissipate it because she thinks it's her son, you know?
Right. But, you know, if we look at this and say how much time has gone by and is she really taking care of herself? I think I would feel comfortable saying that she's doing what she's supposed to do for a while. She's dissipating it and then bringing him back. And then eventually cannot do that anymore. And so my best guess is she appeared to be dead for several months, but had this entity around for...
Well, let me explain the dissipating process real quick. You take your foci, your item, such as the stick figure that we see, and you're supposed to destroy that. You're supposed to write the name of it on a piece of paper and burn that piece of paper and imagine the entity dissolving back into the earth. So it's a process to dissipate. And as we know, she had that stick figure in her hand. So obviously she didn't dissipate it, at least the last time.
Right. But she may have had other figures that she destroyed.
Absolutely.
Certainly she had plenty of clothing to use of Aiden's. So I guess it could be argued either way. I just don't know how she would be able to survive for a couple of years with some evil, vile entity in the place where they're feeding off of her life force.
Yeah.
Because I just can't see her taking that good a care of herself, you know.
It might have taken all of her energy just to create it.
But the end result here is that these silent 911 calls bringing the police and they discover that she's dead and there's a question of how she died. So I suppose based on this story, we would assume that she died because this tulpa took her life force. But do we know what would have happened to the tulpa afterward? After that happened? After she's dead, it no longer has a life force in that house to feed on.
the suggestion is it can go into the astral plane and gain enough energy or power that it can start feeding on others unknowingly, or it can get so powerful that it no longer needs to feed off life forces and it has other agenda. But this is all mythical folklore that we're trying to pull logic out of.
But this has gotten some people a little perturbed because they're saying this couldn't have happened.
Yeah.
There are people that live in the area who say, I've never heard of this. Think about it. This story is so creepy that if this actually went down, it would be something that the town was known for.
Yeah.
Because this, frankly, to me, is creepier than the Amityville story.
It is.
And Amityville is known everywhere.
Besides the Clickhole website, what else did you find?
There's America's Most Haunted.
Uh-huh.
And the guy who runs that did an article on it. The only stuff out there really is the Olivia Mabel website.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a website titled The Lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a write-up on this that is essentially the same information, only it's easier to read.
Yeah.
Although the Olivia Mabel website, it's set up where you can listen to audio clips from investigators, from paranormal investigators, from supposedly some sort of press conference.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the announcement.
But when you listen to these clips, they sound overly manipulated. So, like, the press conference has other audio kind of buzzing in and out of it that doesn't sound right. And then they have the images up, and some of the images look really good, and then some look like they've been overly filtered, overly manipulated, to where they're not subtle. It doesn't appear as though someone made them to be legitimate. They appear to be just, ooh, this looks cool.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, it looks like fabricated.
Like the image of the mother of Olivia, her image looks sort of soft and has a lot of noise on it. And then her son's image actually looks pretty clean.
Which could have been taken by different cameras. Who knows?
No, it's just that if we have access to images, I would imagine there'd be many pictures available to choose from, right?
And I would imagine there'd be more articles or stories or write-ups that didn't pop up in the last, I don't know, year. If you try to find anything past
2015.
Yeah, you don't find anything. This thing just showed up on the map.
So if it's this good of a story, and we think it is, then why is it not showing up before then? It should have been something that someone had at least written an article on for the local paper.
There's nothing. There's a Kickstarter for filmmakers, and they want to make a film.
The Kickstarter's over. But what they had said was, because it's such a creepy story, they want to make it into a film. Their Kickstarter was unsuccessful. I don't even think it hit a third of what it was supposed to make. And their budget that they were trying to reach, their goal was only $10,000, which doesn't seem like much. And if you go around the internet, I'm really into horror films. There's a horror website known as Dread Central, and they have an article on this where they actually promote it and say, hey guys, if you want to see this movie come to fruition, go to the Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Pony up. But that didn't seem to help. I don't know if it's because the horror community missed it somehow, missed the boat, which is possible, or they didn't think that these filmmakers were going to do a good job with this story. I'm not sure.
Well, there's a trailer for the movie, and in the trailer, you see the same photos that are on the websites. So it's not a documentary film. It's supposed to be a dramatized version, but it's the same people. So that's kind of a big red flag that this is a movie, and there's no truth to the actual story. Which sucks, because I like the story. It's creepy. Let me just say this real quick. You know, after we posted our, if you are going to go see Conjuring 2, you should listen to our Enfield Poltergeist episode again. And some people are like, yeah, screw that movie. I don't need to watch it. I watched the movie. I rather enjoyed it. I like the Conjuring movies. I like what those guys do. I can still enjoy horror. I can still enjoy sci-fi, even if it's completely fictional and fabricated. It's a roller coaster to me. It's fun. It's exciting. It's scary. It's creepy. You can still enjoy a good story, right?
That's one thing that I have been laughing at. We have people that say, oh, this is just a big hoax. This is just something that's used to promote a movie. It's viral marketing. But I'm not offended by this. Like, going back to the Amityville Horror, which is clearly a scam,
yeah,
to make money, this is just a cool setup to try and get support for a movie that these indie filmmakers want to make.
And didn't another indie filmmaker do the same thing? Multiple, but what was the most famous one?
The Blair Witch Project.
Yeah. And I remember when that first came out, and they're like, found footage, and they did this whole documentary, and the documentary was creepy as hell. I loved it. Now, when the movie actually came out and everyone felt duped, some people didn't like the movie because they knew it was fake. I still enjoyed the movie. It made me a little sick with the shaky handy cam, but when I went home that night, I was kind of creeped out.
That happened to a number of people.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I don't get this offended feeling. I don't get this feeling of, ooh, I was duped. I just think, great, that's a cool idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, did they pull it off as well as the Blair Witch Project people? No, but I think when you just look at their base story, they had more meat on the bone as far as the story goes. You can see the holes, but the whole point of this is, if there's a cool story and it sort of goes viral, where many people have heard about it, we had people running in. One of those people is Christy. She wrote in to us and said, oh, I think this would make a great episode. Yes, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to cover it, is because it allows us to talk about it in a way that's not, oh, you have to have this fact and what was that date again? This is simply a creepy story,
yeah,
that was created to try and help their project come to life. And it didn't work, but I think they had success because we had people telling us about the story. I went and looked it up. You looked it up. And it's a neat story. We still talk about how cool it was. It doesn't have to be successful from point A to point Z for this to be considered worth the while. Why not just appreciate that there's this neat little story out there?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the whole power of storytelling, is this fable, this myth, this interesting thing that people want to hear about, whether it involves love, loss, tragedy. That's why fables and myths persist to this day and age. People like to tell stories in order to educate, in order to move, entertain, whatever it may be. And so this is their way of doing that. And you want to call BS on the whole astral plane energy entity thing? That's fine. But should we never tell another zombie story or ghost story or vampire story because we know it not to be true? Well, it's going to be a pretty boring world, I think.
Again, let's look back at these other stories. So the Blair Witch Project, and I know it's not exactly the same, but I'm a huge fan of H.P. Lovecraft's works. And they didn't tell you all the answers.
No.
There's a lot of mystery involved, and there's a lot of creepiness to it. They don't need to explain it to you. You're getting dropped into this other environment, and it sort of takes you...
it's escapism.
It's escapism, right? So it's enjoyable. It kind of gets you on edge a little bit. It creeps you out even later after you're way far away from your theater. The Amityville Horror, it has just ridiculous elements to it. A giant floating pig outside of the window. and people tell... we've had people write in and say, that's a true story.
Yeah.
I can't buy that. I can totally buy that he made it up to make money. That's pretty well documented by now. Mm-hmm. But this isn't a scam like that. If you actually look and try to find out who owns the website, you can trace all, you can put all this together. They're doing no more harm than the cable channel does when they say mermaids are real or megalodon found or whatever.
Or when your shampoo bottle says 30% more. More than what? I don't know, but it's got 30% more, so I'm buying it.
They're playing around, but when it comes down to it, it's entertainment. Yeah. Look, they're indie filmmakers. This isn't a get-rich-quick scheme. This is something that they're doing because they believed in their project.
Yeah.
And to me, you can't really sit there and yell hoax at them over and over again because they were just trying to make something entertaining for you.
Yeah.
That's why you were reading about it. That's why you're writing into us about it.
Yeah.
Can't we just enjoy this?
And it was funny because when we got this request, the first thing I did is went out to that website and I saw the police report and death certificate or whatever they had posted out there. And I immediately went out to the Texas website to go search for the original document. And I couldn't find it. Not searchable. No items found. And I thought, well, maybe they haven't taken their 1994 records and updated them. But I'm like, but that's still kind of ridiculous that I can't find anything on this. So I called the number on the website, and that's what you heard at the beginning of the episode.
Take a moment to get a word from our sponsor, Quince. Do you need to upgrade your wardrobe or home essentials at an unbeatable price? Well, Quince has you covered with timeless pieces that never go out of style, and you'll have them in your closet forever. And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% off less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman, passes the savings on to you, and Quince only works with factories that are safe, ethical, with responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. How can you not love that? I recently got a duvet cover and a pair of awesome relaxed jeans. They're stretchy too. You can find all kinds of stuff at Quince. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/GenY for free shipping on your first order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/GenY to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/GenY. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Some of us spend our lives wishing we had more time, but time for what? If time was unlimited, what would you use it for? If you need to squeeze a special thing into your schedule, do you even know what's important to you and how to make that a priority? Well, with therapy, you can find out what matters to you so you can do more of it. We all need to vent sometimes. We all need to talk about some of the things that have happened to us. And I'll tell you right now, your friends might be sick of hearing about it. So take the burden off them. Let a professional help you. Sometimes it's as simple as just getting something off your back and letting somebody else know so you can feel validated and move on with your life. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/GenY today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GenY.
I even called the police station, the local law enforcement, had a nice conversation with them, and I felt like I wasted their time. But, you know, it was pretty easy to debunk. So, again, it's not like I felt like they were really trying to dupe anyone. But at the same time, in today's society and world, most people just read the headline. They don't even read the story, and they believe it, and they run with it. So is it really the filmmaker's fault that so many people are dumb and don't check their facts? I don't know.
Well, again, there are so many films that are made that say based on a true story.
Yeah. Conjuring 2 says based on a true story. And there weren't any Legos in the movie.
Yeah, so you can't be that faithful to the original story, can it?
No. No Legos.
There are many stories out there. There are creepypasta stories, all sorts of stories out there that they seem almost true.
Yeah.
Again, they don't claim that the door was bowed because some entity powered into it, you know, threw itself against the door. This is just, they set up the pieces on the board and then your imagination fills it all in.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all that's happening. That's what you and I did tonight. What's wrong with that? I mean, if you and I were out camping with some of the listeners, And we started to tell this story to them around a campfire.
Oh, they'd totally be into it.
Yeah. Where's the harm in that? This is all that's happening, except instead of being around a campfire, it's on the internet.
I mean, hell, if you listen to the first 30 minutes of this podcast, you'd probably think it was a really cool story. And I don't know. I understand why people get upset when they're duped. I mean, people don't like to feel like they've been taken for a ride. They don't like to be lied to. They don't like this. But when you think, well, it's just a myth, a fairy tale, a fable, and that's what it's supposed to be. And I'm sure if this movie was made, everyone would know the truth. But since the movie didn't meet its Kickstarter goal, it just is lingering out there to be this internet rumor now.
Yeah, exactly. It may just be a story on the internet. And the sad thing is if it did get made, we don't know if it would have been good or not.
We don't even know if our whole explanation and theory that we discussed tonight would even be the plot of the movie. It could have been totally wrong. We love all the requests you put in and keep them coming. And just because something turns out to be a hoax or not real, if it's interesting enough, we'll talk about it. I know when it comes to, say, Oak Island or Bigfoot, I kind of trash it. But when it comes to, say, like the Philadelphia experiment or other things, I dig some of those conspiracies. I might not believe them, but I still dig the story.
Well, I dig the Bigfoot story. I really do. Yeah. If I was out in the Pacific Northwest, out in the wilderness, I would be checking all around myself, mm-hmm. and I would be listening intently. But I don't know that I buy Bigfoot, but I love the story. I love the mythology. I love the history mm-hmm. of Bigfoot as told by people throughout time. But sure, if I'm out there, I'm sure I would believe it a little bit more than I do now. Yeah. Just being in the area, knowing that I'm in the environment. Because I'm like any other, well, I would just say horror fan, I go with the flow. And if you put me in an earthen basement or put me way out in the woods and I run across an old cabin that looks like maybe someone has been there recently, my mind will go with it. Yeah. And I'm part of that story all of a sudden.
Okay. So my least favorite ones were Oak Island and the Titanic switcheroo. All the other ones I'm kind of into.
So I wouldn't be too harsh on the filmmakers. Well, I don't know if you can call them filmmakers because they didn't make the film, but I wouldn't be too hard on these people because they just attempted to get their project off the ground and it didn't happen, but I don't see any harm in it and I don't see any reason to get upset with them about what they did. I mean, if anything, there should be some sympathy that they didn't get to make their movie.
Yeah. Their movie's called Thought Form.
Hey, my name is Justin. I'm with a local newspaper up in Kansas City, Missouri. And I was getting emails and calls about a story in your town about Olivia Maybell. And I was wondering if you'd heard about this and if there was any sort of fact or relevance to the story at all.
I have not heard of it. How old's the story?
It's from 1994. It's about a woman who was found dead in her house, who allegedly had built an altar to her dead son and was killed by paranormal forces.
Yeah, no, that's a new one for me.
Okay.
What was the name?
Olivia Maybell. And if you do a search for it, there is supposed to be maybe an indie movie being made about this or a documentary. But yeah. I think it's one of those kind of guerrilla hoax advertising campaigns like the Blair Witch Project. But
yeah, I don't have anything even in our system with her name on it. So
thank you for checking.
Are you the one that sent me the email? I hadn't had a chance to respond to it yet. But
Probably. I just wanted to hear it from you guys that no one's ever heard of this and it's all bogus.
Completely news to me. I've never even heard the name.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, no, you're quite all right. Thank you. Bye.
But if you have extra money to throw in, we would prefer you to go out to our Gen Y shop and donate to us or buy our premium content. And you can do recurring donations from the donate button.
Since you brought up our premium episodes, we did one on Kelly Thomas, who was a homeless man who was severely beaten by police and ended up dying. And I think that's a controversial episode.
Yeah.
I imagine there are people that hear it and get really angry at the police officers that were involved. We have other people that perhaps don't like our take on it.
Mm-hmm.
But listen to it, because it's, I would say it's going to get you riled up a little bit. And then we have another one, Josephine County 911. And that's one that Justin picked out because when he learned of it, he could not believe the facts of the case, which are a woman is under attack. Her house is under siege, basically, by her boyfriend.
Ex-boyfriend.
And she's calling for help. And when you find out what kind of quote-unquote help she gets, you will be floored.
Yeah.
So
if you are one of those type of people that clicks on, hey, this house looks small, but wait till you see what's inside. This woman calls 911 and you won't believe what happens next.
Exactly. So if you're out there and saying, oh, I'm caught up on all your episodes and you haven't been to genypod.com or genyshop.com,
do it.
You need to, because there are more episodes.
Yeah. Also, we were just interviewed by Mark, who runs a blog site, which I
favorite thought. Color rust.
Yeah, and the link is favecolorrust.com. He interviewed both Aaron and I, and it's favecolorrust.com. So favecolorrust.com. And it's a fun interview that we did with him.
Yeah, he's a listener of the show, and like other people have asked us, you know, I wish I could ask you these questions. He was able to ask us questions.
Yeah.
That I'm sure some of you would like to ask us. Well, he asked those questions, so check the interviews out.
Also, I have 4 episodes now on the Peripheral podcast, my secondary podcast, so check it out. I know a lot of you have, and the first episode is more personal stories. Second one is, it's about the porn industry. Third is Tiffany, who lives with mental illness. And the fourth is about death. And the next one will be drunken driving. And then a future episode is about a man who was a heroin addict and was buying his heroin through Silk Road. So check out my secondary podcast. It's not all true crime, but it's different. And it's mostly listener-based stories. So find me on Facebook or Twitter, or there is another podcast out there called Peripheral, not The Peripheral. I think it's a Christian guy with his friends that talk about demon possession and traveling and stuff. So I tried really hard to find a name for my podcast that was not taken, and I searched diligently on most of the names, but apparently I didn't search diligently enough on the one I finally went with, and there happens to be another one out there, and I've already received one email from a listener saying, I hate your podcast. You sit around with your friends drinking and joking, and I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And then that's when I found the second podcast, so look for my face and look for the black logo.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to the Generation Y podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.